I'm going to say that again for the tape. Name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. It says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. There's a lot in that line. What does it mean then? Then Jesus. It means after the confession of heaven, when he was being baptized by John the Baptist, saying, this is my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son. The voice of God the Father in the form of the dove, the Holy Spirit above his head, and then the Son of God being baptized by John the Baptist. And the devil was present. And the devil couldn't believe it. You're going to understand this in a minute very clearly. The devil couldn't believe it. Jesus, his incarnation is called the economy, economia. The economy is from John, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word, the incarnate Logos. It's this great, great gift. He acted only through his humanity. Who can lead God? Who can lead God? No one leads God. God is not led. There may be a consensus that he will go, but to be led by the Spirit means that he caused his own divinity to be put into second place. He was led, as we are led. We are led. You know what we pray every time when we say Abba Lezi? Lead us not into temptation. Now, God isn't tempting us, but what he is going to do from time to time is to see us in a trial, so that though he knows the outcome, it is important for our education to be tested. Therefore, we know. Now, you may think you know what you're capable of, but you really don't know until that type of trial comes to you. You just don't know. In the Paradise of the Fathers, St. Anthony, or in the Life of Anthony by St. Athanasius the Apostolic, it's written that Anthony went down into the place of the dead. He took up his residence in a tomb. And the devil came. And the devil beat him. And he was taken up dead from the tomb, brought into the church, and they were praying. He motioned to his disciple, who was quite taken by that, and he said, take me back to the tomb. I do not want anyone to believe that the devils are stronger. Take me back. His attendant did that. But when St. Anthony was lying there, according to the witness of the biography by St. Athanasius, St. Anthony asked God. Now, when he was laying down, how do you suppose he was laying? Was he on his side in some recumbent pose? No, he was on his back with his hands stretched out like the cross. And he asked the Lord, why, Lord, did you let the devils beat me? He said, I wanted to see you struggle. That was the answer of the Lord. Struggle is something that we don't embrace generally unless we have had, not according to our will, but we have been forced into a position where struggle was the only way out. The thing that everybody understands when they have struggled and succeeded is that there's a payoff. I worked so hard to get an A, but now it's on my transcript forever. I've gotten the A. I can do that again. I can take O-Kim and get an A. Nobody gets an A in O-Kim. Oh, there's a couple. But that's because they struggle harder than anybody else, not because they're smarter. They aren't smarter. The people that get those great grades aren't smarter. I've told you this before. Malcolm Gladwell wrote a book called The Outliers, and he looked at the relative IQs of the people that were Nobel laureates, and he found that they were just in the gifted category. They were around 120 IQ. Well, I can tell you two things. My IQ is higher than that, number one, and number two, I do not have a Nobel Prize. So what does that say about me? Haven't struggled much, have I? Struggle is something that an athlete will tell you about. The athlete may be the best in the world, and yet he tries to improve upon his number. Think about the great athlete of sprinting, how he shocked the world. But he kept improving. There were weightlifters in my day that were the best in the world, and everybody, when they came to lift a weight, there would be a hush. There would be almost a reverence for what was going to take place. I've seen these things. I've seen struggle. I've seen people who were terribly handicapped by an accident or from some congenital birth accident or sometimes some chromosomal anomaly, and they have to struggle to do just what we do easily. So I'm talking about removing the ease. Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit. In his humility and in his manhood, he went into the desert. Now, it says he was tempted by the devil. Okay. None of us are that smart, no matter how smart we think we are. None of us are that smart. Do you think you can tempt God? I mean, here's God. Now, God's the creator of the universe, right? God's the person that put the stars in the heaven. He made the earth that we stand upon. He gives us the food, the water, the air. He gives us this. What are we going to say to God to tempt him? You know, if you're really God, make a gigantic glass of lemonade and then drink it all at once. That, by the way, was in a movie called Steam Bath. And God was portrayed as a Puerto Rican janitor. And these people in steam bath, the reason it was called steam bath, because they were between heaven and hell. And so you get the heat of hell and the coolness of heaven creates steam. So some of them were going to go to the bad place and some of them were going to go to the good place, depending on how they treated this Puerto Rican janitor. It's a very interesting movie. But what is someone going to say? The devil finds, maybe in this moment of weakness, he's going to reach out because I can see he's hungry. He hasn't eaten anything, and he's in the wilderness. Times before in sermons, I have suggested that the wilderness that he was in our souls. There is nothing so wild as a man's soul. As mankind's soul. All of the lusts, all of the upheaval, all of the volatility, all of these things going, it's kind of like the molten rock that is underneath the surface of Kilauea, and ever so often it just must spew forth. So the Lord was in the wilderness, led by the Spirit. The devil saw that he was hungry, and he said, I know you're hungry, I can see your hunger. I can see it. Command that these stones be made bread. Somebody suggested that the stones where he was looked like loaves of bread. There are smooth stones. I don't know if you've ever seen them. And they do look like little loaves of bread. There was a bishop that I knew, Anba Misael. And Anba Misael used to make Orban. He liked to do it even after he was a bishop. And I met him at St. Mark's Church one time, and he made these Orban, and they were little teeny Orban. Amba Misael is a very small man. He's a very short man. And he made these very cute little loaves of bread. You know, the loaf that we have here is about 12 inches in diameter. The loaf of bread that he made was about 5 or 6 inches in diameter. He made this Orban. Everybody wanted one of his Orban. Simply because of who he was. And because of the gift of it coming from his hands. The devil saw that the Lord was hungry. You can tell a hungry man. And he said, eat. And the Lord said, I've eaten. What have you eaten? The word of God. It's funny when you think about the ironic play of words. Jesus Christ is the Word. The Word which I have spoken, this is what fills me. The Lord cannot be hungry, but in his humanity he allowed for this. And he was, so he wouldn't be presumptive, so he wouldn't show forth the power that he possessed. He didn't fast any longer than Elijah had fasted. He didn't fast any longer than Moses fasted on two occasions. Just 40 days. Then the devil said, look, if you are the Son of God. Again, he says the word if. How do you tempt God? You know, if you're God, and I'm going to remind you this on Holy Friday. On Holy Friday, I'm going to say these same words to you. The devil was there and he was looking at the Lord and he could not make sense of it. In the same way, I'm going to remind you at the time of the Nativity, when the King of Glory was found by the devil to be nestled in a trough where they feed animals in a barn. He couldn't believe it. It was beyond his capacity. Because, you know, as Jim Croce said, nobody pulls off Superman's cape. They don't spit in the wind. They don't pull the mask off the old Lone Ranger. And they don't mess around with Jim. There are things that you don't do. You don't do it because you know the futility. If he really knew, now how is it that he didn't know? He didn't know because the Lord was wearing the flesh. And it was confusing. That is why it is written in the Bible that if you say anything against the Lord, he will forgive you. Because the one who had seen him most clearly, Lucifer, the bearer of the light, the one who held the throne of the Lord, who saw the Lord clearly, now sees him in the form of a man and he can't be anything but bewildered. Who is this? Who is this? So he said, if you are the Son of God, jump. Because I fully expect, since I don't see wings, and since you've allowed yourself to be under the sway of all of the other parts of normal physics and nature, that you're going to hit the ground really hard. But if you're God, that would never happen because the angels will come and they will lift you up so that you don't even stub your toe. It says dash your foot against a stone. But it really means you can't even stub your toe. They're going to take care of you. You don't tempt the Lord your God. Do you not understand the irony of that? He's telling the devil, you don't tempt the Lord your God, which is exactly what you're doing right now. I am God. You don't see me as God, but I am God. And then the devil, who is the chief of liars, he takes the Lord up and he shows him all of the glories of the world. And he said, all of this I will give to you. Now I ask you a question. How could the devil give all of that to him without enraging every single other person that he took the stuff from in order to give it to God himself? You know, God asks you for 10% of your life, your experience, last of all, your money. But imagine if you said, okay, today we're having a new leaf in the church turned over, and that leaf is, you're going to sign over all of your possessions to the church. And I'll take possession of them, and don't worry about it. I've got somebody I'm going to give them to. It wouldn't play very well if, in fact, the devil was trying, as he was, to seduce. The devil must lie because his seduction consists of enticement. In other words, you do this, I know it's sketchy, but you do this and you're going to get that. You're going to get that, for sure, you're going to get that. It's like starlets back in the 50s, there was the thing that was called the couch. And upon this they lay and bare themselves in order to get parts in movies. And it was a horrible price to pay. A horrible, horrible price to pay. But many, because of the desire of fame and glory. You know, the first way that we are touched on, as it says in the temptations, through our belly. We're hungry. We don't like fasting. I don't like fasting. I can tell you for sure, I don't like fasting. I don't like going to the gym either. I wish I could take a pill. It would be called the fitness pill. You take this, it would cost a lot, by the way, because everybody would be vying for this scarce resource. But you would take one pill a day and you'd be fit. And I would certainly like that, because old age is a problem. But there is no such thing. There is no such thing. It's I know that I must conquer my belly. I know I must conquer my belly. In the same way I must conquer all of my other appetites, which are subsumed under the categorical listing or heading of belly. It means all of your passions that you personally can consume. For some people, they're very skinny, but they can't give up tobacco. There are other people that, you know, don't eat and they don't smoke, but they drink. There are people that take drugs. It doesn't matter, whatever it is you consume, to stop consuming that. The Lord told the devil when he lied, saying that he could give him all of these things. You must serve the Lord your God. Him alone will you worship. Him alone will you serve. You must do this. And then the devil left. In all of these three manners are temptations subsumed again. They are categories, or they are types. So if you mention something and said, well, as we read in the Gospel of St. Luke, in Matins, it's another telling of this same story. And if I turn back to that, I will read you, now when the devil had ended every temptation. Now, there's only three temptations listed here, so that's why I tell you that all temptations are within these three categories. The devil left. But the devil didn't leave convinced, did he? The devil was always fomenting insurgency amongst the Jews. He was always trying to do something to put obstacles in front of someone for whom obstacles are nothing. You know? They used to have these sophistic kinds of arguments when I was young, in my 20s, and in the late 60s and early 70s, and people would say, "Oh, is your God so powerful that he can make something so big he can't move it? Because if he can't do that, then it means he's not almighty. He's not all-powerful. And if he makes something that's so big that he can't move it, then he's still not all-powerful. So your God's not all-powerful." It's circular logic, isn't it? You know, my answer to them after I became a priest, because I'm somewhat of a smart aleck, I said, "Oh, yeah, he can do it anytime he wants." And then they give you the same, "Well, then he's not all-powerful." No. He can be self-limiting. Just as right now, I'm not punching you in the nose. Doesn't mean I can't do it. I can punch you in the nose right this minute. But I'm not doing it. So thank God. And then thank me. You know, for us, the meaning of this is, again, God is wanting to say, "Look, I went before you. I did these things before you. You can do them. I didn't do them with my divinity attached. I discarded my divinity in the moment that I did these actions." Now, you know, the Lord's divinity did not part from his humanity, neither for a single moment nor a twinkling of an eye. We say that later in liturgically. But he... I don't know the word that I want to use to describe. Of course, I've never been God, so I don't know how he acts simply through his humanity. But that is the only way that he allowed himself to be a functionary for the economy of humankind, that he would wear the flesh. He would bear the weaknesses, and in his weakness, not his strength, in his weakness, he would show us everything of which we ourselves are capable. He is showing you that it is a possibility. If you look at the history of track and field, you will find that nobody thought that anyone could break the 4-minute mile until Roger Bannister did it. The first man in the history of the world to run a mile in less than 4 minutes. Well, now they're closing in on, you know, 3:45. I mean, things have barriers have fallen. One man shows that it's possible, and then another man says, "Well, maybe it's even a little bit, if I do this, possible to do more." The Lord has shown us these things. Let us take his example and run with it as best we can. We have 75% of the fast still available to us. Let us fast deeply, read the Bible, give to the poor, be merciful and kind to one another. Glory be to our God, both now and ever, the age of all ages. Amen.